Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through a text and simply notice things that are in it that are going to be helpful to us tonight in preparation for Friend Day a month from now. Luke chapter 14. Notice in verse 15, when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, speaking of Jesus, Luke chapter 14, verse 15, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Verse 16, then said he, that is Jesus, unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. That means he invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So this text instructs us right here on a particular thing that you read in the text, and I want to highlight it for you. It's in verse 21. He says, that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and what are the next three words? Bring in hither. What is that word, hither? It means here. Bring. What's the next word? In. So to a place. And that place is here. The Lord says to him in verse 23, that my house may be filled. Now what started this conversation was this fellow said, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then now the Lord describes this man that makes a great supper and expects that his house is going to be full of people that the servant brings in hither. We're going to have Friend Day on December the 8th, and I guess I'm not looking at my calendar, but if this is November the 10th, I would say that's going to be a month from now. Okay. Which really, if you think about it, is a long time from now, but you're going to go to sleep tonight, and in the morning you're going to wake up and it's going to be the 8th. I don't know if you know that's how fast it goes, but it does. And so what we want to do is we want to look in this text, all of us, me and you, to be instructed by the Lord on what we can do for us to be able to bring them in hither to hear the gospel during that service. Now, you know, we have history on this. We've done several things. We've had a kill it and grill it way back in the day. Does anybody remember? Raise your hand if you remember the kill it and grill it. That's just a few of you. Well, that was a beast feast. You say, well, great, what was that? Well, we had shrimp and we had wild game, and we put together this really nice feast and invited our friends. And the purpose was that they would come and enjoy the meal with us. And the purpose was that then I would preach the gospel. And the desire was that people through the preaching of the gospel would get saved. We had the gospel brunch. And well, there were 50 visitors here on that Sunday morning to hear the preaching of the gospel. So this is going to be a friend day. And what we'll have is we'll have a gift. I have talked to a couple of preacher friends of mine. And there's a book that's well written that would be good to give with a really nice specialty bookmark made just for our people and a nice gift. We're going to get Ann and Kim to look through the catalog like they normally do, an appropriate gift, put it all in a nice presentation and have that available for our guests. So that'd be, it's not a bribe, it's something beneficial that they can really use and enjoy and benefit from that also has a spiritual implication. So we'll do that. And then you, when you invite them, You can invite them to have a meal with you at your house afterwards or take them out to eat. And as I've said twice or three times before, you might say, well, preacher, we don't even take ourselves out to eat. I said, great. If money's the issue, you let us know. We'll make sure you have enough money for you to go out to eat and them too. Why not, right? Okay, because this has to do with somebody coming around for a meal as well. Now, in thinking about this, what I have noticed is that it is not uncommon in having a day like this that a dozen people in the church will succeed in getting a dozen visitors to come, okay, and will preach the gospel, and maybe somebody there will get saved. And that's a good thing that somebody got saved. But as I read this passage of Scripture, and I was praying about, Lord, what passage of Scripture should I preach to encourage all of us, me and y'all, about how we could ask people to come to hear the gospel preached. And I believe the Lord directed me this text, and so what we're going to do is simply open it up. I could have said, okay, now you got to be committed, you got to make a prayer list, and you got, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's what a man would do. Let's see what the Lord instructed. And number one, what we notice from the text in verse 16 is a certain man made a great supper. That's what we notice, right? First off. So a certain man made a great supper. Well, what prompted Jesus to tell this story is what the man said in verse 15, blessed is he that shall eat what? Bread in the kingdom of God. So that now sets the stage for this great supper that is being prepared for guests to come to the house, right? Jesus Christ said in John chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life, right? He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I would say that is an excellent meal. You can't top it. He is the bread of life. And so we bring people in for this meal, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't imagine if somebody were to get saved like you and I are now saved, and they receive the bread of life and never hunger eternally or thirst again eternally because they now have received the Lord Jesus Christ. What better meal could we serve than that? And the answer is you can't. He is, if you will, a great supper. Well, we're going to preach Jesus Christ on Friend Day. And many of you have prayed when we've done things like this before, and I've put the messages together, and I've had people, our people, say to me in the foyer, man, I'll tell you what, if I wasn't saved, I'd gotten saved today. Or another one would say, man, I'll tell you what, I feel like getting saved all over again. That lets me know it was a good gospel message. So it doesn't have to be the preacher. It's the subject of the message. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't top that. You can't have a better meal than that. So here he says, a man made a great supper. We're going to have a great supper on December the 8th at 11 o'clock right here. All right, I noticed something else in the text in verse 16. Right there at the end, the last three words, and what? Bade many. To bade is the past tense of bid. To bid is to invite. So he invited many. He invited many. And I've learned something. To get someone here, you must invite more than one. I mean, the person you think is going to come is probably not going to come, or they're going to be out of town, or whatever happens. And in order to be sure that you have someone or some people here, you have to invite many, many, invade many. You know what happens too is this. You hear me preaching on this. Your mind is stirred right now about who it is you could invite. And you get to thinking, you know what, I really should invite somebody. I haven't invited somebody in the past, but I really should invite in somebody. And so you kind of get that. And you know what happens? You invite them and they say, sorry, but we're going to be out of town that day. And you think, well, at least I invited somebody, and that's enough. You say, how do you know that? I've done that. Right? And other people have done that as well. So it's not enough, according to the text now, to just invite one if you want a house full of people to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to invite many. You know, think about this. If you are committed to having somebody come, I am going to be sure somebody's here with me, then you will try and you will try and you will try, right, until you get somebody to come. Is that right or wrong? Isn't that right? That's kind of how it goes like that. It's like, you know what, I'm not gonna be here without somebody. You know what, we've had, this is in the past, I know this group here tonight would not do this. We've had people always going to be preaching the gospel on that day, and I don't have anybody coming, so I'm not going to come. And we've had people that actually didn't come because, well, I don't have anybody else to come, and after all, I already know the gospel, so I'll take that day off. That's not the thing to get committed to do. Right, the thing to get committed to do is, bless God, I've never done this in the past, but God helping me, and by the grace of God, I'll have somebody here with me. Listen, let me ask you a question. Is not receiving, I'm phrasing it as a proposition, I'm going to phrase it a different way. Wouldn't you think that having somebody come here and getting saved on a Sunday morning would be a big deal? I mean, I do. I really do myself. So if you're committed to having someone here with you, then I'm just going to tell you it's going to take more than one invitation. You're going to have to ask quite a few people. It's just the way it is. You say, why is that? Well, look here at verse 18. They all with one consent. Wait a minute. These are people that said they would come. They all with one consent began to make excuse. First one said, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. May I tell you something? Is that urgent? I mean, that ground has been here for a long time and it's going to be here after the supper, don't you think? All right, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go to prove them. That's a pretty lame excuse. I don't think you buy them and then go check out whether or not you bought some good oxen. Usually you'll try them out and then... But now is as good a time as any, right? And then this poor guy, I married a wife, and we know what his problem is. Henpecked. And now let me tell you something. There are quite a few guys in town like this, okay? I like a guy, he says, you know what, I'm going to tell my wife about this, and then he tells his wife about it, and then they do it, okay? I like that situation. Well, they're going to have excuses, and I'm going to tell you something. Even when somebody accepts your invitation, you say, how will they accept it? They'll say, you know what, that sounds like a good idea. I will try to come. If they insert that little 3-letter word in there, they're telling you in so many words, don't count on it. That's what they're telling you. That's a polite way of saying no. Even though no is only 2 letters, they'll use the 3 letters. Okay? But if a person says, I'll be there, even if they say, I'll be there, they could get a call in for work. They could have a car go out on them. They could have a water well break. There are things. And so some of those excuses would be urgent, and some of those excuses are not urgent at all. They just better deal with you. It's kind of, you know, the way we live today, a lot of people say, I will be there, whatever, if nothing better comes up. Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's how it is. And so they'll come up with, and basically the excuse is they decided not to come. All right, so what happens is you've invited somebody, you're all excited, you bring your name to church, and we pray for this person the whole time. Then Sunday comes, and you come up and say, Preacher, they called me at the last minute and said they couldn't come. Well, we already know to expect that. So you have to have more than just one who says they'll come, because somebody who said they'll come won't come. And it's Bible. You see it. All right, so we're going to have a supper here, but it's not going to be the beautiful international buffet we had for breakfast that day. And that was, I'll tell you what, you outdid yourselves. But it is going to be the meal of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. You can't top that. We recognize in order to have people here, we're going to have to ask more than one. We're going to have to ask many. And we have to expect, unfortunately, that even some who said they'd be here won't come. So it's better to have more than one who says they'll be here. Now, in verse 21, the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, maimed, halt, and blind. You know, when we have a special gospel service planned like we do, you're going to invite, when you invite somebody, you're going to invite your friends, because it's people you know. You might invite family, your brethren. You might invite kinsmen, relatives. And you might invite neighbors, particularly what the Bible would call rich neighbors. You say, where do you get that idea? Look at verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, so this is Jesus speaking to his host, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbor. See, I didn't make it up. It was right there in the Bible. And I'm telling you what, that's exactly who I think of when I think about this. I'm already seeing the neighbors that I want to invite. I already know the kinsmen. I've invited family members to these on numerous occasions, and actually they've come on some, and friends. Okay? But the Lord said, don't just invite them. You should invite them. Those are the ones you're more inclined. But he said, don't just invite them. Invite the people that you don't expect to come. And perhaps the ones that you would recognize later need Jesus the most. You know, your well-to-do neighbors and family members and friends have a problem. It's a good problem, but it's a problem nevertheless. When all the needs are met, good roof over the head, refrigerator full of food, perhaps a freezer out in the garage with some more food in it, running cars, paying job, and they're not in debt over their heads, what do they need Jesus for? We know what they need Jesus for, but when they're in that situation, it's kind of like, well, I'd come, but I don't really need church. Or they may say, I don't need a crutch. Or you know how the answers are. But man, when you meet somebody who is poor without Jesus now, not just financially, and maimed, beat up by sin, blind because they don't have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in them and available to them. Whew. But if there's any place on earth they need to be, it's here under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ getting saved. Wouldn't you agree? He said, but I don't know the guy that well. I wouldn't expect him to come. That's not a reason not to ask them. The Lord in this said to the servant, you go get those people that are beat up out there and bring them in here. That's what he said. Bring in hither the poor. And so as you're thinking about this, literally anybody that you meet, right, is somebody that you could invite to come and hear the gospel preached. Look what he says in verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Yet there's room. And that obviously meets with another demand or a command by the certain man who has this great supper. But before we look at that, you know, when we have a special gospel service planned, we should seek to have a soul in every seat. Just think about it. When you read the text here, he says, yet there is room. Now, generally on Sunday morning, which is when this service is going to take place, we have a lot of people here, pretty good numbers. But you know, there are a lot of seats still empty. You know, sometimes on a Sunday morning, it is such that we are at that place where people say you are essentially full. That is, everybody's comfortable enough, but not so close to somebody else that they feel crowded. Okay? But we're a long way from full. There's room for a lot of guests in empty seats in the building. You say, but preacher, I know what you're saying. We ought to seek to have a soul in every seat. But pastor, that will never happen. And you know what? That's why it never does. I've done this a lot and prayed with other people about this and talked about it. And they'll say, but you know, preacher, you never have more than like 12 or 15 people. So don't be disappointed if only 12 or 15 people show up. And you know what that is? That is then 12 or 15 people are going to show up because, right? There's no effort. There's no, let me just pause right here and put a little parenthesis in. I've talked to preachers. They're evangelistic and they get you stirred up. And I mean, they can get you emotionally fired up. They can get you under conviction and down to the altar. You already know me well enough to know I'm not that guy. You know, I just don't have the pizzazz for that. But some of the friends that I have that do, I don't criticize them for it, but you know what they'll do? They'll come up with a yellow team and a blue team and a red team and a green team. And then they'll have team competitions among the various teams to see which team can have the most people come. And people, you know what they do? They get excited about that because a lot of people like competition. How many people do you have coming from your team? And, you know, so what happens, and you know the reason they do it, is that there's a big excitement over this and the can't wait to be announced that you were on the winning team and our team had the most visitors. And what it does is it gets people in the seats. I don't want to do green teams and red teams and blue teams and yellow teams and have captains of teams to get you fired up about getting people to come. What I really like to do is show you in the Bible that when the Lord prepares a great supper, he wants a full house. That's what I'm reading there. You say, well, preacher, but that's not going to happen. How do you know it's not going to happen? I mean, honestly, when I've been praying about having a special service, just the Lord impressed upon my heart sometime back that we ought to do it on the 8th. And so I got all excited and I said, Ann, I've been praying. I believe the Lord wants us to have a special service on the 8th, an evangelistic service. She goes, Dad, or Hop, we're having a Pinterest party on the 7th. Oh, well, that's the end of that. You know what it's told me is we can't have a special service like a gospel brunch because we're already going to have confusion over there in the fellowship hall with the Pinterest party, and we're already going to have a lot to do to get ready. There's no way in the world to try to get the same ladies that are involved in that and cooking a bunch of food. And I thought to myself after more prayer, we don't have to have a lot of food. The best meal you could possibly serve is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a meal is important to your guest, you can feed them at home or take them out. It's okay. You realize as many people are as here on Sunday morning, really and truly, if most people just brought one guest that actually came, you'd have to put seats in here, seat everybody. You don't have to have 26 visitors. But I believe when I look at this text that if the Lord wants his house full for a special thing, then we should have the attitude, okay then, let's fill the house. Let's fill the house and let's not even use any gimmick to do it. Let's just go out and do what you do when you want a full house. Keep inviting people to come to church. You know, we have to have, I think, the attitude that the Lord does. When Jesus Christ is being lifted up for lost sinners to receive, we need to be sure there's a house full of lost sinners here to receive him when he's lifted up. That is a good attitude. That's the right attitude, I think. And that means, listen, I can't say, oh, well, I'm not going to have any guests here because I'm the one preaching the message. It's as much on me as it is on you and as much on you as it is on me. I was talking to Tony about this just the other day, and he said, you know, honestly, if people would bring lost people to church, that would make our job easier in this regard. We can preach the gospel to people who aren't saved. They can get saved. Now we got people to disciple. Right? When I pray for preachers around the country and I pray for our church, you know one of the things I pray? God, bring lost sinners here who need Jesus Christ so they can be saved. And we're the ones that invite them. All right, so it's a great supper. You can't top Jesus, and many were invited. You knew some were going to be excused. And he said, go out and get the people you didn't think you wanted. Go out and get those poor and maimed and halt and blind. They need Jesus Christ. And go with the attitude, hey, we're going to fill it up. Now notice what he says in verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out. Go out into the highways and hedges. Go back up here and notice he said in verse 17, come for all things are now ready. What does that mean? Come for now all things are ready. And yet in verse 23, he's still trying to get people to come. What's he doing? He's inviting them right up to, right, the time of the meal. It doesn't mean to wait until the time of the meal to start inviting. It means that even up until the time of the meal, he was still inviting people. You're going to notice when you walk out into the foyer tonight before you leave, you're going to notice these invitations that we have. Join us this Sunday. It's got all the information about the services back here. If you're looking for a church with sound preaching and teaching that comes straight from the Bible, with hymns and singing that glorify God, even without the piano, that has Sunday school and children's ministries and a Wednesday night prayer service with friendly people who enjoy praying for one another, then come by and visit with us. Sunday school, Sunday worship, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, listen to the radio broadcast, QR code, right on the back to a salvation video. And a nice picture of the church with address and everything. So you're inviting people to say, you know what? I would love for you to come to church this Sunday, but really on a special day, December the 8th. There's a lot of these out there. Don't take them if you're not going to use them, but if you're going to use them and you say, oh, what do I do with that? Start inviting people when? Yeah, now, first thing in the morning. Or maybe tonight. Now, and listen, right up until the 8th. You say, well, that's awful late. You know, you've heard me mention Sho. Some of you don't know that Japanese fellow that we witnessed to for a long period of time. The night before Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, Ori sent him a text. You want to come to church with me in the morning? Answer, no. Ori woke up in the middle of the night, prayed for him. 7:30 in the morning, he got a text from Sho, what time is the service? And Sho came, and Sho got saved that day. I'm talking about right up until the time the meal is served. You understand? How many of y'all remember the gospel brunch? A bunch of you. Gospel brunch, in case you are not familiar with that, we didn't have Sunday school. We had this beautiful, I'll tell you what, that was a beautiful buffet. All y'all got involved, and everybody was coming in there eating. Then all of a sudden, we had the service here. They came over, 50 visitors. I was just like, wow, never seen anything like that. Not in this church. I was just amazed. There were seven people that came forward at the invitation to receive Jesus Christ as a Savior. One husband and wife and daughter came forward, dealt with them right here, and they got saved. The Horns were out at supper the night before and saw them sitting at the next table and said, hey, you know what? We're having a really neat deal at our church tomorrow. You ought to come. The night before the service. And they came and they got saved. You say, what are you saying? It's never too late. Start now and right up to the day of the service. Just keep inviting people. He said, go out. You see that in verse 23? The Lord said unto the servant, go out and keep it going. I tell you what's going to happen to some of us, and you'll probably be reminded about this later, gently. What's going to happen to some of us is like get stirred up tonight, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I really ought to do that. But tomorrow morning, your alarm goes off, get dressed, go to work. It's Saturday. You are afraid I'm going to say something about it on Sunday. And you're going to think, you know what? I didn't invite a single person this week. I forgot to do that. When he says here to them, go out, you know what he's telling them? You've got to make an effort. They're not going to come to your door. They're not going to call you on the phone. Text probably isn't good enough. But the point is, you've got to, you know what it is? You've got to make an effort. You've got to say, you know what? I'm going to make this happen. And you might even think, hey, I'm going to call. Hey, can I come by and see you Thursday evening? I want to ask you something. Scheduled tasks get done. Scheduled tasks get done. Make up your mind. I'm going to do it. But it's going to take an effort. He said to that guy, go out. It's going to take an effort. But then notice what he said in verse 23. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You know what the word compel means? To compel is to urge forcefully or irresistibly. To cause to do by, listen, overwhelming pressure. I am the least pressure person you know. That's not my personality. Which is good and bad. And the good thing is, if something happens, you're going to know the Holy Spirit did it, because I'm not the guy that's going to sell you a car you don't need. My apologies to anybody that sells cars that you don't need. I'm not built that way. And on the other hand, is built that way. Poor Gonzalo, when he was out there at the university coaching and coaching her clinic, she got into him, and you coming to church, you understand? Oh, yes, ma'am. He was the kind of guy that had a hard time saying no, and she was the kind of person who would not let up. And he got saved. Thank God for people who realize that to compel somebody to come in is biblical. So you say, well, what am I going to do if it's not my personality? I don't know. You're probably going to have a big old prayer meeting with God if you're going to pressure somebody to come to church with you. I know I'm going to have to do a good bit of praying about that myself. But that's what he said. I didn't make that up. He said, compel them to come in. You know, some people need somebody to say, look, dude, you don't understand how important this decision is. You will die and be in hell if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's true. That's also pretty persuasive. And you will be in heaven, and you will have eternal life if you do receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now come to church with me. Right? You're looking at me like, okay, preacher, you have gone too far. Not going to do that. I'm just telling you what the Bible said. When the Lord said, I want my house full, he said, some of these guys you are going to have to compel to come in. That's the word he used. So, there are certain people that you can compel to come in, and they won't hate you for the rest of your life, and they will love you when they get saved. And you will know, hey, you know what? It was worth doing. Look. Verse 24. I say unto you that how many of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper? How many? None of those men shall taste of my supper. Do you understand? The people who aren't here for the service won't hear the gospel preached, at least that day. Right. I thought about this and I wrote this note to myself and to us. The ones you don't invite won't hear the gospel preached that day. That's on you. That's on me. The ones we don't invite will not hear the gospel that day. That's on us. I mean, if you invite them and they turn you down, the ones you do invite and they excuse themselves, the one you do invite and they say no, that's on them. But that's not on you. That's not on me. That's not a guilt trip. It's just a reality. If I invite somebody and they say I'm not coming, well, then they're not coming. If I invite somebody and they come and they get saved, I'm like, wow, that would have never happened that day if I hadn't asked them to come. That's that. It's really that simple. Now, what we've done is we have simply explored the text. I didn't try to do anything with the text to manipulate it, to make it say something that would encourage you or guilt trip you or shame you or whatever about doing this. I'm just looking at a great supper that a man prepared and said, I want my house full and this is what I want you to do. Right? It's here. So here's what I would say in conclusion. Invite many. Invite many. So who should I invite? You know what I would say is this. I would say, Lord, first of all, I invite people that come to mind right now. But I would say, Lord, if there's somebody you want me to invite I'm not thinking about, would you put them on my heart and mind so that I will? That'd be a pretty cool prayer if the Lord put somebody on your heart and you invite them and they came. So I say, put somebody on my heart, Lord, that you want me to invite. Because some of you look at your list and you're like, I don't have anybody to invite. You might be surprised. Might be surprised. Maybe it's the cashier at the store where you shop, or maybe somebody at the hardware store, or maybe a neighbor you've never met. Invite many. And don't be afraid to invite those you don't expect to come. It's the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind he told us to invite anyway. Start inviting now and keep inviting right up until the day. And don't be afraid to be persuasive when the Lord said, compel them to come in. And go with the attitude on that Sunday morning, this place is going to be full. Not, well, preacher, you know we're not going to have more than 12 or 15 people there. That's up to the Lord. When I read in there that Paul planted and Apollos watered and God gave the increase, I'm not worried about the number. But I am concerned about the attitude. And the attitude should be, hey, you want a full house? Then we'll go out and do the best we can to make sure you... He kept telling that servant, you keep going back until my house is full. Okay, then that's what we need to do. That's really good. Very practical, very much right here from the Scripture. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord did all that you see here and you show up on that morning and you look around and go, wow, we didn't have to have any crazy gimmick. a full house of people here. And there were actually people who responded to the invitation we gave, and they came. And wouldn't it even be more phenomenal, fantastic, if many of those walked out of here with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? What a great deal. Some of you have been through discipleship. You'd already sudden, you'd have somebody to disciple, and we'd give you the discipleship booklets, and you could sit down with them. Next thing you know, they might be coming to church with you. Brand new Christians growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way I want to view this opportunity. Not, again, I think I'll skip. People need to be saved. The one thing we can do that really makes a difference is see people's lives change because they have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we are the ones God left with that one responsibility. He just said, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we can do that. We should do that. And we've got a great opportunity leading up to this thing. What you say, well, what would happen if I invited somebody to come on that, but I gave on that day, but I gave them this card and they came like next Sunday? Oh, woe is me. You know what I think? I think I'd be real good, don't you? Don't be discouraged. Let's not judge for them whether or not they'll receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let's give them the invitation and let them make the decision about whether they want to come or not. Right? We'll leave that to the Lord and them. Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to open up the Scripture and just be informed right out of your book on what you did when you were talking to a man about a great supper. Now, your Son is the one that said, I'm the bread of life. And so, Father, we don't demean him by referring to him as a great supper. But I'll tell you what, I know every person here that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved and is no longer hungering and thirsting for righteousness is really glad. They did. Now we pray to make others glad that they do as well. And we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.